take your Bibles and turn with me this morning to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, as we look to the Word of God for a few moments together this morning. Now, I've titled my message this morning, The Blessings of Being Under Authority. You know, many times we look at authority and we rather chafe about it. But I believe that we're going to see from God's Word this morning that there's a place of safety, a place of security, and a place of blessing under authority. Find our scriptures now, Matthew chapter 8, starting with verse 5. It says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum. Capernaum is a wonderful little city that is located on the north end of the Sea of Galilee. It became Jesus' second home. Jesus was so hated in his hometown of Nazareth, they tried to kill him there, so Jesus then moved his life and ministry and made Capernaum on the north end of the Sea of Galilee, a precious little town, made that to be his home. And so when Jesus had entered Capernaum, that's Jesus coming back home to Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking him for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Now as you read this account in Luke, Luke says this man, this servant of his, was about to die. So it's a critical situation. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Listen once again to the words of this centurion, this military man. He says, for I myself am a man under authority. Friends, we're living in a world this morning that seems bent on throwing off all outside influences and authorities. This generation declares we will rule our own lives. We're intelligent, we're autonomous, we don't need anyone telling us what to do. Not God, I'm my own authority. Not my mate, I have a mind of my own. Not my parents, who needs them anyway? Not my teachers, who do they think they are? Not the police officer, nobody, but nobody tells me what to do. And the results of such thinking have been devastating upon our nation and even upon our world, as we inch ever closer and closer to what I believe to be global anarchy. The signs are everywhere. There is no reverence for God, for his name, or for God's word. Families are in absolute total chaos. Schools have become war zones rather than places of learning. And our cities are filled with insurrection, with chaos, with death, and with destruction. World governments, we have seen them over and over these last few weeks. They're frustrated, saying, who can govern them? Leaders are falling like flies. Judges chapter 17 and verse 6, I believe, describes the day in which we're living. It is much like the confusion that you read about in the book of Judges. Here's what it says in Judges 17 and verse 6. It says, in those days there was no king. Now I add to it there the word authority. Where there is no king, there is no authority in Israel. But every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Can you imagine someone deciding that there is no rules to the road? And they get out on the freeway and they decide, I want to go, you know, it's just a little faster to go in the lane and go 100 miles an hour between here and downtown. And the next person is saying, you know, I don't want to drive on this side of the road. I'm going to drive on the opposite side of the road. Can you imagine the confusion? You don't know what side of the road to be on. You don't know what speed to drive. There is no authority. There's no structure. There's absolute confusion. And the Bible says this is the way life was in Israel. When there was no king, every man did that which is right in his own eyes. Every man made himself an authority unto himself. Now, I want you to compare that with this man that we just read about here in Matthew chapter 8. He calls himself a man under authority. Look at it in verse 9. The centurion says, "For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and to that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." This centurion was a Roman military officer. He had 100 soldiers under his command. Friends, can you imagine what kind of a chaos it would be if our military forces of the world had no well-defined authority structure? You know, the military, its very basis is upon authority and upon authority structures. This Roman soldier understood both the benefits and the responsibilities of being under authority, as well as an individual that possesses authority. He knew that his commands ultimately filtered down from the Roman emperor himself. And he knew that the word of the emperor was supreme over this Roman army, and that his authority was felt throughout the entire organization beneath him. This centurion also knew that the commands that he gave as a soldier and as a commander were backed by the full force of the Roman Empire. Simply put, this man understood that he was a man of authority under authority. Friends, God has lovingly placed in every last one of our lives men and women who are authorities over our lives, and they're there, placed by God for our safety and for our security. Now, as one begins to read through the Bible, one discovers right up front that the entire universe that surrounds us, the spiritual universe as well as the natural universe, is all governed by laws of authority. In heaven, there is an uncontested authority structure. God is the commander, and he is the chief. He is the one with all authority. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that all authority comes from God, that he is the one that places men in positions. He raises one up and brings another down. It is God that brokers. It is God that trusts another with authority. And apart from God's authority, there is no authority. So even the angels in heaven, do you realize the angels in heaven, they all have ranks? The angels of heaven, they're under basic authority rules as well. It all starts out, who is the head of heaven? We've already said so, God himself. But then beneath that, you will discover that God has placed seraphim and cherubim. You read about them in the scripture. Angelic beings like archangels, as well as other angels. And all of these angels, they all have ranks. God controls it all. And each of these respond to and have authority structures over them. So heaven is organized. Heaven is not just some every angel doing his own thing, doing that which is right in his own eyes. Matter of fact, we've already seen out of Isaiah chapter 14, where one day Lucifer said, I'm going to be like God. And I'm going to bring my throne and set it right alongside God's throne, and that I'm going to rule like God rules. And God said, no, you will not. I am the authority of heaven, and you will not ascend, but rather you will descend. And God made it clear from that moment on that there is only one ultimate authority, and that is God. And he is the one then that allows authority to be delegated to another. So all of the functions then that we find in heaven, they're all under God's authority. Now the scriptures also tell us, just as heaven is organized and there are authority structures in heaven, hell has also done the same. The devil, Lucifer, this old fallen angel, he knew how things operated in the heavenlies, Therefore, when he began to try to set up his own insurrection and his own mini-government against God, he used some of the things he had learned while in heaven, and he set up what is a well-defined authority structure once again, even in hell. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Look at it with me, because it's going to give you insights into how even the devil has organized his demonic powers, and he has done so by setting up authority structures. Listen to what it says. Ephesians 6 and verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against, now here are some of the authority structures that are spelled out. And when you read this in the original language, it is like talking about, you know, superior officers and those that are subordinates. Here's what it says. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. That's one realm. Against powers. That's another. Rulers of the darkness of this world. That's another. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, if you look at this and look at it through the eyes of the Phillips translation, let's put it on the screen for you as well, because it's very insightful. It says, for our fight is not against a physical enemy or any physical enemy. It is against organizations and powers that are spiritual. We are up against the unseen power that controls this dark world and spiritual agents from the very headquarters of evil. Isn't that insightful? He says, our battle day by day is against an organized structure and from the very headquarters of evil. Friends, I want you to know that when God designed this planet and when God designed each of the components, they say that there are three major components to life here on this earth. And they would say that that was first the family, secondly the state, and thirdly the church. And sometimes the order of the second two are reversed. But nonetheless, those are the three: the home, the church, and the state. And in each and every one of these, you will find that God has placed a well-designed and organized authority structure. So let's look at this authority structure once for the family for just a couple of moments. First of all, who do you suppose ought to be the head of every single home? God, that's right. So Christ, the Bible says, is the head of all things. Aren't you glad he is? And it is him that gives authority, delegated authority, in order for the family not to be a place of chaos. So Christ is the head, and beneath Christ, who should we put next? Come on, tell me. The father, that's right, or the husband. And so the husband then, he gets his authority from and is responsible to Christ. That's right. And who comes next in this family organizational structure? The wife, that's right. So we've got Christ ruling over the husband lovingly guiding, directing, and ruling over his wife, and the couple ruling over their children. So you've got Jesus at the top, and you will discover that he's always at the top. Whether you talk about the home or the church or the state, he is always the very top authority. So, in the home, we've got Christ, we've got the husband, we've got the wife, and we've got the children. Husbands and fathers are to be an umbrella of protection over their children, and over their wife, and over their family. We were in Washington, D.C. for the General Council of the Assemblies of God, and we were on the Washington Mall, and there was going to be an outdoor service that day. And so we had arrived, and I mean to tell you, there was deluges of rain. And so there's 30, 40,000 people out there. We are just being soaked to the bone. And so finally, I saw there's a guy that was selling umbrellas. And he only had one left, and so I went and bought the one umbrella. How many have ever tried to share an umbrella with someone? Well, let's just say this. About halfway through waiting for the service to start, my wife just got up and walked away. She said, I'll just be wet. And she got very, very wet. And so there she was, this umbrella. Well, it was really only one of these little tiny ones. It was hardly big enough for only one anyway. So She was already wet. But she got out from under the umbrella. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5 for a moment. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So we submit one to another out of reverence to the one that is the authority, right? And all authority comes from him and is then delegated down through the structures of the family. So submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Understanding who is the final authority? It is the Lord. That's right. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives must submit to their husbands in everything. So the Bible says there is a structure, there's an authority that I've given, and if you live within this authority structure, you'll find there will not be the chaos in your home, there will not be the animosity, there will not be the struggles. I am so glad that when God designed the family, he didn't just put the family on the earth and say, lots of luck, and walk away. When God designed the family, he designed the family and said, here's the way the family is going to operate. And if you'll operate within these authority structures, there will be blessing, there will be peace, there will be tranquility, there will be direction for your children. Speaking of children, Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. Turn there for a moment. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, it says, children, do what? Obey your parents. Once again, it's in the what? In the Lord. And the reason for that, he is the ultimate authority. Yes, he passes on authority to parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. He said the first promise that you have in the Bible that is connected with a commandment is this, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So the Bible says if we will listen to, obey, and admonish, you know, our children to stay within those safe boundaries of a husband that's under Christ, the wife that is being loved by her husband, submits to him in times when there is, you know, a time for submission over situations that we don't come to meeting of the minds over, and children obeying their parents. He said, listen, kids, this is going to be good for you. You're going to live long, happy lives. I've never seen an old, happy rebel. Most rebels die young. Check it out for yourself. And so there's a safety, there's an umbrella that he gave, and he said, here's the role, here's the responsibility. Now, secondly, I want you to see something else here. When it comes to the nation, once again, he has an order and a structure for the nation. Now, to some of you, this may come as a surprise this morning to know that God has ordained the governmental authorities that rule over us. And the Bible has much to say about this in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Take your Bible and turn there for a moment. It says, everyone must submit himself to the governing what? What's the next word? Authorities, that's right. For there is no what? Authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by whom? Say it, church. By God. Consequently, or therefore, he who rebels against the what? Authority is rebelling against whom? God, who has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on what? On themselves. So it's not going to go good for you. For rulers hold no terror to those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the fear of the one that is an authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's what? Servant to do you what? But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the what? Sword for nothing. He is God's what? Servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, It is necessary to what? Submit to the what? Not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also the way you pay. This is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's what? Who give their full time to do what? Governing. Give everyone what is owe him. If you owe taxes, pay what? If revenue, then? If respect, then? If honor, then? Honor. So once again, you will discover that in the nations of the world, God didn't just place nations on the earth. He placed them here under his authority. Friend, I want you to know, we often say one nation under, but do we mean it? One nation under God, we're literally making the declaration that our nation's highest authority is none other than God himself. And we realize that God, he needs to and chooses to place men in positions of authority as president, as kings, as prime ministers, and all these other roles. And the Bible says clearly it was God that chose them and placed them there. And you say, well, how could that be? Y'all thought history, you've looked and you've seen some wicked men. And without a doubt, there have been some wicked men. Can you say Mussolini was placed there by God? Or that Hitler was placed in his position of leadership and authority by God? And the questions go on and on and on. I didn't vote for that president. I did not vote for that prime minister. You know, and this governor or whatever it is, all throughout the whole ranks of authority structures. And we often complain and say, they're not someone that deserves respect. They're no one that I voted for. And as far as I'm concerned, they and their policies do not have any respect due to them. Friends, I want you to understand, we live in a day where it's very easy to criticize. We are a generation that's been raised on vote them off the island. You are not the biggest loser. Tubby, go home. Isn't that? I mean, that's right. This thing has played out before us over and over and over and over again in so many different ways. There is an authority that the Bible says God has placed there. And there are times when these men have gone bad. Guess what's going to happen one day? They must give an account back to God. I was asked by a police chief to come in and to share with all three shifts. And I asked him, I said, what do you want me to share with your officers? It was the first time in the history of the department where they brought all three shifts together, everyone at the very same time. You could have had a great deal of fun in town during that hour. And so we were all together, all three shifts. And I began to share with them the fact that you've got a badge. God has given to you authority. And that you'll be responsible one day to stand before God of how you use that badge and how you've used that authority. And that all authority comes from God. And we will have to give an account back to God whether we abuse that authority, whether we misuse that authority. And the same is true for every president, for every prime minister, for every king that has ever sat upon a throne. They will all have to give an account back to God. So God has an authority structure. He has an authority structure then for the home. He has an authority structure for the nation. He has an authority structure for the church. You know, friends, I'm so glad that once again, God didn't just birth the church and then all of a sudden just say, well, you guys work it out the best way you know how so you don't kill each other. That I'm going to place an authority structure within the church, and he has done so. And guess where we start once again? So when we talk about the home, who is the head of the home? Come on, the very top, it is God. If it's the nation, who's at the very top? Well, who do you suppose we should put at the top of the church? God, that's right. So Christ, then, is the head of the church. And as you read on, you'll describe and find that God has given a structure once again. And the next in the structure there is, he said, I'm going to give to you bishops. How many of you ever heard the term bishop? You know, we get the idea of, well, a bishop is somebody that's got a funny hat and, you know, that they've got a special big chair that's, you know, looks kind of royal or, you know, I mean, I don't know what thoughts go through your mind, but here's what it's all about. When you see the word bishop there, a bishop, by definition, are those who oversee groups of churches. And then under the bishops, God has given the elders. And the elders, for lack of a better term and word here, is the pastor of the local church. And then God has given, he's got Christ, we've got the bishops, we've got the elders. He said, you know, it's not good that the pastors should be spending all their time about the business affairs of the church. They ought to be giving themselves to the reading of the word, the study of the word, and they ought to be giving themselves to seeking the face of God. And so in order for that to take place, he said, I'm going to give to you deacons, and deacons are going to take care of the temporal affairs of the church. And so God has given, once again, there's a structure. Christ at the head. He has placed bishops, his elders, and deacons. Now, friends, there are some wonderful benefits to living under authority. You know, first one I think about is a place of safety. You know, I'm so glad that there's a place of safety in the home when the husband is living under Christ and taking his role seriously, and he's guiding his family. There is safety for that entire family. As a father watches over the physical welfare, the father watches over the spiritual welfare of his children, and he watches over his wife, and he loves his wife like Christ loved the church. There's a great blessing of safety. Not only is there great safety there, you'll find that there's great hope and help in the fact that you don't have to carry the whole load of life alone. And I'm so glad that he has placed people over my life. People that, you know, I've had such wonderful relationships with over the years. I think back when I first moved into Wisconsin, the very first pastoral gathering that I was at, Harley Olson. Harley Olson now is 90, mid-90s. What a wonderful, incredible guy. Scandinavian, of course. And Harley, I just threw that in for you, your edification. And so, yes, he is a Lefse-loving, lutefisk-loving man. And he was the one that came and said, Jerry said, I want to welcome you to the district. He took my lapel and he pinned a boutonniere on my collar. Then went over to my wife, and his wife, Irene, put a flower on Sherry and said, welcome to the district. And I found that this bishop, this one watching over my life, what a wonderful thing it has been. Harley is now retired, many years gone by, and others have come and they've taken their roles of responsibility. But I think back how safe I felt knowing that when I would step into a pulpit and stand before a congregation or go into a board meeting, to know that I had someone else. The buck did not stop with me. Or I think of people like Sam Peterson, former pastor of Brookfield Assembly of God, now Victory International. I remember one day riding with Sam in the car, and Sam was the assistant superintendent, and he oversaw the 186 different churches along with the superintendent, and we're riding in the car together, and I said, Sam, I said, you know, I really don't have time to do a lot of this district kind of stuff, and he began to talk to me, and he began to sow into my life. He said, Jerry, said, I believe that God wants you to do that. He said, by the fact that you've been elected to take these roles and the responsibilities, you know, and the ministry that he's given to you here in the district, he said, I believe that that's what God would have for you. And much of what I am today, I think back to little snippets of conversations that I had with Sam Peterson, which was an authority over my life. John Wanamaker, what a wonderful man to be able to cut my teeth in ministry. You see, when I started in ministry, I was a youth pastor, and I had a senior pastor over my life. And so not only did I have a superintendent, assistant superintendent, a presbyter in the local area, but I had a loving pastor that he only wanted the very best for my life. And he prayed for us. He would take and sow into our lives day by day by day. And we're blessed. And I always felt safe when I stood in that youth group and I would look in their eyes, you know, and see at times some that are rebellious and some are going through hard and difficult things. I knew in that moment I had someone that was over my shoulder watching over me and praying for me. And those kids had the same because the authority structure was in place. Grandpa Wanamaker. Grandpa, he was a fine musician. Matter of fact, the entire Wanamaker family was great musicians. Pastor John played the cello. Joseph, he played the violin. Helen Wanamaker played the harp. Phil Wanamaker played the trombone. Ethel Wanamaker played the organ. And that family, when they would be together, it was a fascinating thing. I always felt so secure. Not threatened. They were authorities in my life. And rather than seeing them as someone to be chafing, knowing that they're over my life, I learned that they only wanted the very best for me and for others that I ministered to. Every single Sunday. Now, I'm not sure you can hear what I'm about to do, but I want you just to picture this in your mind. We would gather back at Calvary in the pastor's office, and we'd have a word of prayer just before we go out to the platform to lead worship that day. Now, remember, all of these guys are musicians, and I'm the one that's leading the worship service. Now, it's because I'm the only one there, all right? I'm the only available one. And so every week, here's what I would hear. Grandpa's little bony knuckle pounding on the corner of the desk. And after he did that, that was to get my attention. Then he'd always say, "Brooks, no mistakes." He'd scare me to death every single Sunday just before we leave, go out, lead the worship service. And I can still hear him. You know, this morning, just before I stepped out here, I could hear in my office, "Grandpa's in there somewhere. Brooks, no mistakes." You see, it was an authority structure that was over my life. And that authority structure was there for my good. And it was designated by heaven. And friends, I want you to know, I've discovered that the best friends that I have in my life are those that God has placed as authorities over my life. Do not chafe at the authority structures that God has woven into your life. It's like an umbrella. And they're a lot better than I am at the umbrella, okay? They want to watch over you, and they want to protect you. In that realm, when you begin to reject the authority structures that God has put into your life, you're really fighting against the ultimate authority, God Himself. And so there are blessings, wonderful blessings, the blessings of knowing that you're not in this thing alone, the blessings of friendship, the blessings. You know, I am so blessed. Over these years, we've had wonderful, wonderful men that have served on the board of this church. And these men are our friends. They sow into my life, and they've given me the privilege to sow back into their life. And friends, there's a safety, there's a security of being under. This man then said, "I'm a man of authority, under authority." Catch that. He said, "I have great authority. I can say to a man, come and he comes, go and he goes, and I can speak the word and they obey and they listen. Do this and they do it." But he starts off by saying, all of this is made possible by the fact that I am a man myself under authority. Now here's what I see about this man. I believe that this centurion, the reason why he has 100 men under his command, is because he learned in his own personal life how to live under authority. And by living under authority, those that observed his life said, it is safe to give him authority over others. Do you realize a person that is not willing to come under the authority of others is a dangerous person? And I've come to see that there's a lot of religious things going on today, and I don't see that they're safe at all. Some of these independent pastors that will not listen to anyone, do not want to have anyone watching over their life. Friends, I would just say to you, I find that rather dangerous. And I believe that God has always placed authority structures. You realize the president of the United States, I hear sometimes little kids say, when I get to be president, nobody's going to tell me what to do, you know? Well, guess what? When you get to be president of the United States, you get to have 380 million people telling you what to do. And in reality, it's true. If you want to call it higher, or the more authority you get, the higher you go in authority, the greater authority that's been given to you, the greater the number of persons that watch over your life and are responsible to you and you are to them. So God has given a wonderful, wonderful structure of protection over our lives. Don't chafe at it. Kids, mom and dad have been placed there not to ruin your day. They've been placed there by God to protect you so that you don't go to hell, but you go to heaven. That you not only get good grades, and that you become a great citizen, and that you make an impact for God in the world, but that your soul is safe. Do you realize that one day, the Bible says that I will have to give an account for every person that has been under my watch? And the Bible says that in some cases, we're going to do so, and it's going to be with, you know, it was a miserable job. Have you ever been like a camp counselor? Come on, let me see. Everyone that's ever served as a camp counselor. Isn't it interesting? Camps, within just a few minutes of everyone arriving from all over a state, they've never met each other, but as soon as they get at the campground, within about 10 minutes, everyone that's going to seek God is together. All the musicians are jamming together. All the jocks are playing ball together. And then you've got the ones that just came to disrupt everything and withstand everything. They're all together. And they all end up in my cabin. I woke up one morning in Wausau, Wisconsin. I slept good. Found out the kids didn't. I had one in jail. I had a group of railroad men that was next to one of the boys' rooms, and they wanted their heads on a platter. It kept these men awake all night. And sometimes you just find that it's tough to be an authority. Nobody respects it. Nobody wants it. Everybody's trying to push it off. And you find yourself, the Bible says, one day you have to give an account. He says, now we should live in such a way that those that have to give an account for us, that they can do so with joy. That lets me know, and the Bible says, there are some that you'll have to, and you'll stand before God and say, God, you know, I did my best. I just, you know, couldn't get anywhere with them. But nonetheless, I did my best. Let's all be the kind that whoever is the authority of our life, that they one day, when they have to stand before God and give that account, they'll say, you know, man, that was cool. Thank you for that assignment. Thank you for allowing me to be an authority in the life of this individual. I've watched them grow and mature and become more like Christ, and wow, I am so proud of them. Lord, here they are. And for others, it's like, don't blame me for that. So let's understand the great blessings of being under authority. Now, let's summarize this all up and pull it together, and then we're going to give you a turkey, okay? In that order. This centurion, it is interesting when he said, "Will you, my servant is sick." Luke again tells us he's about ready to die. And Jesus said, you want me to come to your home? And this centurion said, no, you don't have to come to my home. I understand how authority works. All you have to do is just say the word, and my servant will be made whole. And Jesus said, I have never seen. The word that is used there in the Bible is amazed. Jesus was amazed. You realize there's only two times in all the Bible where Jesus was ever amazed? And the two times deal with faith in both accounts. First time, it's the faith of this centurion. He said, I've never seen a Gentile with this kind of faith. You know why he had that kind of faith? Because he understood authority. As a soldier, as a military man, he understood authority. And he said, Jesus, all you have to do is speak the word. Because I believe that you are here under the authority of your Father. And I believe that whatever your Father says will come to pass. Just speak the word. I am convinced there is no way that God is going to trust any of us with authority until we find ourselves under authority. And when we find ourselves under authority, he can trust us with authority. In every case, whether it be Hitler, be Mussolini, whether it be Ceausescu or any other you want to name, you look at their lives and every last one of them, they consider themselves an authority unto themselves. And when you begin to believe that you're an authority unto yourself and that you do not listen to others, you disobey and you're just always at the ragged end pushing away others, you're in a very dangerous place. But this man, he understood. Jesus, if you speak the word, there's not enough demons in hell to stop, because all authority flows from the Father through you. And whatever you say is going to happen. Friend, I want you and I want myself to live in greater authority. When I say authority, I'm talking about there are demonic realms, there are sicknesses, there are situations we all face in life. And maybe you've been wondering, why is it you lay hands on the sick and nothing happens? Why is it that your home is in chaos? Why is it that your son, which is 9 years old, is running the house? It's because you've got to get this whole authority structure straight in your own head first, Dad, before the rest of the family gets it figured out. And it's something we model. And when they see us living under submission to Jesus Christ, you see, then my wife knows she's safe. But if I'm rebelling against Christ and expecting her to submit and be obedient to me, it ain't going to happen. But when I model and I show her that I'm under submission to Jesus Christ, after all, he's the head. There's a lordship that God has placed in every realm of life. And I'm so glad that we have the blessing of living under authority.